book, A Rainbow Like You, is easily one of the great rock and roll books. It accurately portrays the music industry as it is. And it's funny because sometimes, you know, in the fictional world, we either get This Is Spinal Tap or Almost Famous, and everything else is kind of on either side of it. It's too real, or maybe it's totally fiction. A Rainbow Like You is available now in stores. I'm so happy to have Andrea join me on the phone. So thanks for joining me, Andrea. I truly appreciate it. What was your first love, being a music fan, or were you a writer first?
My first love was music. It came from my father. He's been a massive fan, mostly classical and jazz. And in my house, there was always music blasting at all hours of the night. And he was just so passionate about it, and I just learned to appreciate and develop my own passion for music through him. But I've always liked expressing myself through writing, but it wasn't until, you know, I had a couple careers that I really kind of put pen to paper and said, you know what, I should just start writing books. I love books. I've always loved reading. It's just time to make this happen.
Where do you start with getting ideas like this for a book? Well, you're obviously a music fan. You post about past concerts on your social media. You even post old concert ticket stubs on your Instagram account. So when does it happen to you that the things that you're watching as a music fan would make a really great story for a book?
Yeah, I mean, in this book, ironically, Adrian, the main character, I initially envisioned him as a character for a TV show that I created. But he was a teenager. He was sort of the son of this Ozzy Osbourne-style rocker. And the show didn't get picked up, but I always had sort of a soft spot for him. And then when my first book was off at the editor before it got released, I was just in my office sort of daydreaming, and his voice came to me, but he was older. He was 30, the age he is in the book right now. And it was such a gripping moment, and I literally ran off and wrote 30% of the first draft in 3 weeks, because he was just such a strong character, a strong voice.
There's not too many accurate portrayals of the music industry. You know, primarily it's all about sex and drugs and rock and roll, and maybe it's all Spinal Tap. But this is a really cool portrayal of a band and the music industry that I've read. And it's that good. There's family, there's love, there's hate sometimes, but it's real life. It's just happening in the bubble of rock and roll.
Well, I'll take that compliment, and thank you so very much. And that was something that I was extremely cognizant of when I wrote this story, is that, you know, there is all these stereotypes surrounding the music industry, and I wanted to come up with characters that really buck that trend. And it's true, you know, you do see these shows, and people think, well, that's just what the music industry is, because that myth is sort of perpetrated through all these visuals and stories that we see. But that's not really the reality of it. And, you know, being on tour is a grind. It's not the glory that everyone thinks it is. And when you have sort of some quirks like the main character Adrian does, it can be very, you know, detrimental to your sort of long-term mental health. So that was one of the threads that I wanted to explore, because you do have this mystery and myth of, you know, traveling around. And yeah, it's exciting, but there's also some downsides to it.
I guess it all depends on which era that you grew up on. You know, much music came along when I was a teenager, so everything looked like one giant, happy, bright party. And then when Nirvana hit in the 1990s, it seems, you know, a little bit more grungy, a little bit more depressive. Things, you know, in reality hit. It kind of dampened the spirits a little bit of the 80s. So it sometimes depends on what kind of music that you were listening to during your teenage years.
Well, and that's a great point. And one of the things I wanted to explore with this book was, like, what does it mean to be a successful musician in the year, like, 2020, 2021? And, you know, COVID notwithstanding, because it's created a bit of a blip in the live music industry. But, you know, to be a successful musician these days means that you don't actually make money off of the creation of your music, which is kind of sad. It's all about touring and merchandising. So you are kind of thrown into that system, whether you like it or not. And again, so there's long-term ramifications of that. But so this book was a bit of a swan song to the music industry and what it used to be and kind of what it's like now.
One of the main characters in the book is a woman named Hastings, and it took me a few moments to realize that she's Black. And the age difference of her and the main character, Adrian, who's the rock and roll star, is pretty vast. Like, she's a teenager. He's kind of, I guess, mid-30s, early 40s or so. It could have been creepy to write about them and the relationship that they have, that even though it's not sexual in nature, there's still love there and there's still respect there.
Well, you actually touched on a couple of very interesting points, and I was extremely aware of the fact that when I'm writing a story that involves a 13-year-old African-American girl and a 30-year-old white man, that I had to make sure the situation didn't go into anything kind of pervy or weird. So establishing their relationship right away was very important. And in the second chapter, when they meet, through Adrian's interiority, we know right away that there's not going to be any of those kind of weird shenanigans going on. So I kind of shortcut it that way. But it's interesting you bring up the point, when did I realize she was African-American? Because when I first started writing that character, she was a bit amorphous for the first few weeks that I was writing it. And then as her character developed on the page, I just realized that she was African-American. Just one of those things that came to me.
Your Instagram account is really fun and highly recommended. What's the first show that you went to?
The very first concert I ever saw was Def Leppard in 1983. It was for the Pyromania tour, yeah. So that was the very first concert. I don't know if that's a badge of honor or not, but I went with my high school friend Kathy, and we just had a great time. You know, we bought our Union Jack shirt. Joe sang to us and waved to us, and we had our schoolgirl moments.
You know, it's sad because there's no shows going on, and I don't even know when we're going to be having those moments of 20,000 people in an inside arena again, even with a vaccine.
Well, and that's a great point. And, you know, so inadvertently, this book ends up being a bit of having a nostalgic vibe to it, because for people who are craving concerts and that live music experience, you know, they can kind of immerse themselves in that with the story. But I feel you. It's hard. You know, it's one of the things that I struggled the most with this year, is because I usually see a concert or two every month, and now I just don't have that outlet.
There's that community, that togetherness, and you take a look around and seeing, wow, like, where have you freaks been in all my life? I had no idea that all these people were around at this show that liked the same music that I did.
Well, and you think about it, like, going to concerts, it's such a, you know, it's buying the tickets and having the anticipation, and then it's the night of, you know, you're getting on a bunch of drinks with your friends, and then you're all standing in the audience, and then the lights go down, the musicians come on stage, and then there's this surge of energy, and you just, like, don't know what's going to happen, and it's so organic and so spine-tingling, you know, I just miss it.
When you're writing a book like A Rainbow Like You, what's the process like? Are you listening to music all the time while you're writing, or do you kind of work in silence?
Well, my writing style is I try to write every day. Unfortunately, the only music I can listen to when I write is instrumental, because the lyrics just mess with me when I'm trying to come up with my own words. But I do take big chunks of time to write. My side job is working as a television producer. And those projects are very short and very intense, but it gives me the luxury of time and money to take time off and have big chunks of time to write.
Now, because of your background, I know that you've done a lot of television commercials. You've directed certainly a lot of in-house productions for Fortune 500 companies. You've done a lot of documentaries for VH1 and the like. Do you write with the visual aspect always front and center to you? I mean, I know it's still words on a page, but are you trying to set what we all should be seeing in our minds, or are you leaving it up to the reader?
Yeah. Ultimately, it's, as a TV producer, it definitely influences how I write. I always see things in sort of scenes, how it would play out, and it's been helpful as a writer, because a lot of times writers have difficulty kind of corralling their ideas into the scenes and the snippets that you need to have an impactful story. But I do love writing with dialogue. I think it's one of my favorite ways to explore characters. And again, I'm just really cognizant of how scenes cut together and how they would show up in my mind. And before I start writing, I do a lot of sourcing of visuals, just to give me an idea and to immerse myself in the world, but also kind of get a more of a tactile sense of the stuff that I want to explore texture-wise.
Thanks so much, Andrea. I truly appreciate it. The brand new book is called A Rainbow Like You, and it is a great rock and roll novel. Coming up, a great rock and roll guitarist, Kenny